live on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. A new day brings new topics. Our sports talk brings extensive debate and analysis by the host, expert contributors, and callers. We discuss it all. Join us weekdays at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. It's Sunday, so it's We Know Track and Field with Coach Gerald Richardson and also Coach Fred Rucker. I am Princess Cooper. Let me welcome in my co-host to the show, Coach Rucker. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Princess. Thank you for asking.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Coach Richardson, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. You know, we got a little sunshine here on the East Coast, so it was a nice day today.
A little sunshine, bad weather, which kind of took some technical difficulties earlier in the week, but we're starting a new week and it's exciting. Just give me 60 seconds here, 30 seconds, gentlemen. I say congratulations to Dawn Staley. I'm proud of her because she looks like me, a class act, seems to work hard. A perfect season, 38-0, 30 seconds, and then we'll get Coach Williams in.
Yeah, that's an incredible season, and my hat off to her as well and her team and her staff and all the supporters of South Carolina basketball.
Yeah. Coach Rucker?
She's a Philadelphia area girl, so we're proud of that.
And
I believe she played at Temple, didn't she?
She played for University of Virginia, but she coached at Temple.
Oh, that's what it is.
Okay.
UVA. So, all right, let me welcome in Coach Williams. Coach Williams, thank you for being on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate you.
Awesome. Yes. All right, gentlemen, I'll let you all take over.
Thank you, Princess, for the introduction. As always, I want to welcome my co-host, as he likes to be introduced as my wingman, by the illustrious Fred Rucker. It's always a pleasure to have you on here, Fred, with me, and we always have a good time together. But
Go ahead. And all we're doing is just talking a little track and field and having some fun.
That's right, track and field at its best. Tonight, we have a very legendary coach on with us, Coach George Williams, and I'm going to introduce him for a hot second, but before I do that, Coach Williams, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how it all started for you for at track and field?
Oh, wow. The story is it's one that every time I think about it, it's amazing. I worked at St. Augustine's University, and I think I was then director of admissions and recruitment, and I was the system basketball coach. And they had a track program there. Coach Charles Harvin was the track coach, but he and his family decided to move back to Virginia. And so Dr. Davis asked me to take over the track program. That's in 1976, when I helped with the track program until they find a new track coach. And I said, you know, Dr. Davis, always St. Augustine alumni knew him. And they would say, oh, gosh, there's nobody going to turn Dr. Davis down. And I said, I would do it. And so I thought I would be interim track coach for maybe a year. They'll find someone. And I ended up being the interim track coach from 76 to 96.
that's a long interim.
Right.
I got to ask you this question, though. When you went to St. Aug, you didn't go as a track guy or a track athlete. I believe you were there for basketball, correct?
Boy, basketball was my forte, and that's what I really wanted to coach at St. Aug. I wanted to be the head basketball coach, but at the time that job opened up, I think they felt like I was a little too young for the job, and so they hired a person who has a good high school basketball record and a good relationship with the community, so I thought it was a great hire. They had Harvey Hartley, and I thought it, and Harvey asked me to be his assistant coach, so I worked with him. But basketball, man, they used to call me the sharpshooter in the CIAA.
I got another name I heard they call you. They call you the zone buster. They say you're a potent from that perimeter.
Man, I didn't ever see a shot I didn't like. Bob Damrich and Earl LaPerre said I had the CIAA record. And I said, what record I have? They say the most attempts.
Hey, look. So you have
to you go shoot it. Mm-hmm.
You have what they call in the gym range, huh? Anywhere in the gym was in your range?
Right, that's right. Anywhere in the gym was my range, yeah.
I like that. Oh, Coach Walker.
Since we're talking basketball for a little bit, and you said CIAA, I got to ask you about this ball player from Trenton, New Jersey, Lenny Carmichael. Do you know that name?
Boy, Carmichael, man, from Elizabeth City. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Oh, boy, that Carmichael, boy. I don't think he ever had a bad shot either. The shot he didn't like, boy.
Yeah.
Besides talking you to death out there on that court.
and he still does.
Oh, man, that's my brother, man. He's a great guy, man. You know, back in the day, we were all like, you know, once this was over on the court, we were just like brothers and friends. You know, we all got together and socialized and enjoyed each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what healthy competition is really all about. You know, you get out there and you compete, and you can socialize later after that. But I got to ask you this question, though, Coach. What did it mean to you to coach at your alma mater for all these years?
Well, it's a decision I think only God made, because I had about four D1 jobs offered, and I chose to stay with St. Augustine's University because they gave me my start, and I saw something in the young people there, just like I was when I come from Miami to St. Augustine's. And I said, if I go to a PWI, all it would do is give me more funds, but I won't have the same kind of students that need the help that I can give them.
Mm-hmm.
And so God said, besides my wife and my daughter, you know, God said, you know, stay here. You can be more productive here with these kids. I mean, I had big offers. I had the job at the University of South Carolina when Mike McGee was there. He was a good friend of mine, and Dr. Walker. And so Dr. Walker asked him to take me wherever he goes, and he said, I would be glad to. And then he left South Carolina and went to Cincinnati. He offered me the job there. I didn't take it. Then he left Cincinnati and went to the University of Southern Cal and asked me to take the job there, and I didn't take it. So it's a blessing. You know, sometimes you just have to, you know, like I always tell people, you know, God didn't make winners or losers. He made choosers, and I guess my choice was the best one, because it looked like it all worked out. Being, you know, I got to be the head coach of the United States of America track and field team.
All right. And since you mentioned that, we know in 1996 you were the assistant coach, and then in 2004 you were the head coach for the Olympic team.
Right.
What were some of your prouder moments as an assistant and head coach for the U.S. Olympic team?
Well, my proudest moments is always when you are representing your family, your institution, your friends, and definitely every person in the United States of America. It's a lot of pride is involved in that, and you have to make good decisions and good choices, because when you're out there, all the thing you have on your chest is USA. They don't put George Williams down there. They don't put Michael Johnson down there. They put United States of America. So that means you're representing, you know, 350 million people or more now. But at that time, it's a lot of pressure because the fact that you don't want to make mistakes and you don't want to make the athletes and put the athletes in a position where they would make a mistake. And, you know, after they're training most of their life, some of them, most all their life, and some of them is just having to make the team from college straight to the team, don't understand the application of the whole situation. And so it's a lot of pressure. And I know when I finished the Olympics, they wanted me to do some other things, wanted me to coach some other teams, and I told them, no, that was it. It's time for the young folks to do that now. That pressure is something, boy. You know, it's when you sit in that stadium and everything is nice up before you get there, but when they turn those pigeons loose and say, I declare the Olympics began, boy, Jesus Christ, you talking about some butterflies.
Hey, Coach, but you weren't running, though, Coach. You got butterflies?
Hey, yeah, I got butterflies for the people who are out there trying to get a medal, the people who have dedicated their whole life for your sport. And I have butterflies to making sure I don't make a mistake being a man of color in the United States of America. You know what that would do to your legacy, to your legacy, your family legacy, and everything black. They would consider you the sportsman for the black people at that time. And and whatever mistake you made, it's not me making the mistake by myself. It's everybody, my family, and every black American in the United States. And I've seen it happen too many times.
Okay. Coach Rucker?
Yeah, George, or Coach Williams,
yes.
If I just want to go back a little bit, and I'm not sure if our audience, parents, some of your former athletes, other coaches, are aware of the fact, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I have it written down in my notes that you have won the number three in terms of the most national championships of any coach in NCAA history. That's quite an honor, and that you coached 44 years in track and field. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, 47 really before they dumped me.
But that's that's quite an honor, and you know, and they talked about Mike Krzyzewski and the guy at Alabama who just stepped down. I'm drawing a blank on his name, but you have won so many, and yet you're so humble. How do you do that? You know, and Coach asked me, you're nervous. Yeah, how did you stay so humble?
Did you hear Coach Richard Jobbins go say, why would I get nervous? I ain't running nothing. But I'm not running anything. It's those young people that are out there. And each one of them has been a part of my legacy and my life. And I'm humble because the fact that these kids graduated and are doing good things in the world now for other people. I was talking to a young kid and one of my athletes coach him. And when I was talking to him, it seems as if I was talking to that same kid about 20 years ago because they kept the legacy going and they're keeping the legacy going. And so it ain't about me. It's about us. So us, it's us, it's we. And if ever this country understands that, USA, United, it's about all of us. And that's all I it ain't never been about me. I mean, really, if it had been about me, I think I would have been at a PWI instead of at St. Augustine.
And I can say that I had one of my athletes I coached, and his dream school And dream coach with, to coach to run for it was you. And that's where he ended up going.
Great.
And he, and to this day, he still talks about Coach Williams. And every now and then he talks about me, but he just wanted to run for Coach Williams.
He's going to have to talk about you. You're the beginning. He does the beginning and the ending. That ain't no middle. And you begin it, and he came by me. I guess I was the ending. But he understood that it all works together, you know. It's all worked together. The whole world worked together, you know. It's the heaven and the earth, all this work together, you know.
And Coach Williams, I'd like to add in, one of my athletes ran for you too as well. And he talks fondly about you all the time. And hopefully he's listening tonight. But he has nothing but good words to say about you. And he truly loves you and learned a lot from you during his experience in 1996 in Atlanta. So he's very thankful for that experience that he had with you.
Well, he was on a hot team, 96 team. Woo! Them boys was bad. That whole team was awesome. I said, everybody on that team, boy, that was a blessing God sent down to me, those group of kids. And they got out of school, they did well. Oh, my God, what a blessing. You know, I've had so many kids to come through there, but, God, that 96, I'll never forget those guys. They were they believed they could get it done, and regardless whether it was six of them or five of them, they're going to get it done, you know.
Coach, now, I'm sure you've had a number of great moments in your coaching career, and I'm sure you can talk about just about every one of them, but has there been a moment that you've had that you wish you could have back? And what was that moment, and why would you change your decision on that one moment?
Gosh, I've had a from the university side. I've had a lot of great moments because we won about two or three of the championships with the last event of the day, the mile relay, and we won about two or three championships with only six people. And so all those were great moments. And on the Olympic side, it's when you make decisions that would enhance a person's life for the rest of their life. One is in 2004 with a young man, and one was in 96 with a young man who – I always called him the street committee. Who was the street committee telling me that I shouldn't run them, and I'm in charge. And those are great moments when anytime I can help and help a young man, a young woman out to make sure that they can enhance more to their life and their stories, then it's easy to say, okay, when somebody say, well, they send him home. I got a replacement for him. And that's easy to say. But it's hard to say, no, I'm not going to send this young man home. We're going to take care of this young man. And we're going to keep him here. And we're going to help him solve his problem. And then the young man get a silver medal. Oh, gosh, is that a great moment? And then another young man who didn't run well in the trials, and he was one of the top 400-meter runners on the stage, and he just had one bad race, and everybody wants to take him off. Mm-hmm. You don't do those kind of things to young people who are trying to do something. That could have spoiled that man's life for the rest of his life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was easy for me to say, okay, I take him off. All I said to him, hey, you worked hard for this. And I told you was going to run this, and this was your leg that you was going to run, and I'm not changing it. And so those are the little moments, and it's a whole lot of them, but I remember those two very well because they were young people at the time, and they all needed some kind of guidance at that time because that was their first Olympics.
Right.
And you have to do what is right. And all my moments come from trying to do what is right. And so I can't go and say this moment was better than that, or this kid was better than that kid. No. They all the same in my eyesight. It's just you have to have a relationship with people to understand the circumstances of people.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I agree with you 100% on that. Coach Rucker, got a question for Coach?
Coach Williams and Coach Richardson, again, I agree with both you guys 1,000%. And for those, you know, coaches and parents and athletes listening, that's very important, establishing that relationship. And kind of a slumber type question, Coach Williams, I'd like to ask. In your 39 titles that you won, and that's a lot of titles, are there any titles that stick out? I mean, you did mention that you won a couple with six athletes, and you won some,
right,
came down the mile relay. Any one or two that stand out that you really remember?
It's hard to select the one stand out more than the other,
mm-hmm,
because there were different student athletes at the time.
Right.
And so it's real difficult, because in championships, I find out that a lot of it comes down to bonuses. Who's going to give bonuses and who's going to take away bonuses?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we say, wow, this guy was ranked number one and number two, and my guy was ranked number six, but he gave me a bonus by being the champion. And the guy number two gave me a bonus by finishing fourth. You know? And so you just have to rely on the bonus. But you always have to keep your kids prepared for whatever comes forward or backwards or whatever. Get them prepared mentally and physically. If you got them prepared mentally and physically, it doesn't matter who is in the race or who's going to do this or what the stats said before we get to the race. That's why we run the races. And I try to keep them all prepared, all mentally ready. And they have to keep me mentally ready, because I was a fiery little coach, you know. I just wanted the best for them, you know, because – you know, my kids come from all type of backgrounds, and I didn't come from a silver spoon background myself, but, you know, I knew what I needed and what I kind of know what they need, because I know what kind of world that I live in, and I know what people think about us as a people when it comes to athletics, is that the kids who run for PWIs and the kids who run for St. Augustine's University are not supposed to be better than the PWIs blacks. And that was a stigma that goes around the country, you know. And I was showing them that I would always tell my kids, hey, because we're poor, we don't have to be dirty. We dress well, we run well, and we try to articulate to the best of our abilities.
Amen to that. Coach, and what event would you consider your specialty event when it came to track and field? I heard from some people that I talked to a couple weeks ago. They said, oh, he was a 400 factory man.
Yeah, but you know, I love that 400. You know, it's such a beast of a race, and a lot of things that people don't know. You know, that when they talk to 400, you know, they'll go to Clyde Hart because he had Michael Johnson. They'll go to another PWI who had a great athlete. But I can almost tell you that none of those schools probably had 12 kids that ran under 45.
Wow.
I mean, I had 12 400-meter runners that run 44. 44 low. The school record was 44.01, you know.
Wow.
44.01. Oh, no, 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 44.09, I'm sorry.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
And
that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, sometimes everybody say, oh, boy, you could really coach us here. No, it's not coming down to coaching. It's coming down to, just like I say, the physically and the mental attitude of these young men who said, wow, this man gave us a chance. I'm going to try to do the best I can while I'm here. Because, like I say, God didn't make winners or losers. He made choosers. And those kids made some good choices while they were there.
Well, Coach Williams,
because
doing my research, now I heard this story from one of your athletes, who was one of your early 400-meter runners, and he asked you one time, how should I run the 400? And this was early in your career, and I believe you responded by saying, run fast and finish first.
Right. That's right.
And
that's
then,
right.
Then
yeah,
said,
that's right.
He said, Coach, well, what do I do in between? And you said something about, well, work on that. And then I'll ask you this question, because it said, or you said, that you started really learning a lot about track and field from Big House Gaines and Dr. Leroy Walker. Because another time, the story that I read about you was that you were coaching track again in the early days, and Big House Gaines said to you, you know, you got basketball players on your track team. You might want to recruit some track and field athletes. And
I'm going to tell you exactly the way you said it. I'm going to tell you, when I first started coaching track, Coach, you headed out here. These people, you know, they are close to me because they know what's going on. I went to Dr. Walker. And Dr. Walker told me, yeah, well, okay, I'll work with you, but he gave me a book on biomechanics and technique. Like, wow, geez, I done finished school, man. I don't need to read all this stuff. And he said, you know, learn these things here, and if you need some help, I'll come over there with you and work with some of your kids when you start, you know. And then I asked Big House Gaines, you know, because I know when I played against him, he always had championship caliber athletes. And I asked him, you know, how do you win championships? What kind of student do you need and everything? And Big House Gaines said just like this, hell, George, you can't win no damn track meets with, y'all excuse the logistics right now at this on a Sunday, but you got to go and get you some track people. You can't win with these basketball players, because everybody I had on the track team, when they first gave me the job, I just took the basketball players and said, man, y'all come on, run track for us so we can have a track team. And they came out and threw the shot and the javelin, and one guy ran. Boy, I had a guy that was on the basketball team. And I wished I knew as much as then that I know now. But this cat, he could have been probably the greatest 200-meter runner in the world. And I had him running the 400-meter, and my logistics about, you know, get out there and run fast and finish up first. And he ran the first 220.2. But he walked the last 150. but I'm just saying, you know, if he wasn't a basketball player and he was really just with track, he could have been a really outstanding athlete. But, you know, everybody believed the round ball is going to take him further than track and field would have. But then they started finding out that track and field can take you further than basketball. It was more the track and field worldwide than basketball was CIAA only.
Wow.
Coach Williams, I have another name I want to ask you about, again related to track and field, and you said the friendships and people you respect and you know. How well do you know Norm Tate? Now, well, Norm's been on our show several times.
Norm and I was running the same time. Norm didn't know me that well because I was trying to run the quarter and long jump and triple jump and even the mile, you know. And so it was and they had such an outstanding team and such a good coach, Dr. Walker. You know, he knew all the mechanics and everything and how to teach track and field. And I was just out there trying to do the best I can, you know, because I was a basketball player. That's when they say the basketball players running track. And but to see an athlete like Dom Tate, oh my God, I wish these young people could have seen him at his young age and all those guys at Central, you know. It would give them a whole different look about this business of track and field and running. Those guys are running the same time. These guys running now with flubber shoes and flubber tracks. Bouncing all over the place on dirt, okay?
Yeah.
On dirt and cinder, all right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they don't believe that. They just think they world class and they got better timing system. You know, back in the day, when we were running across, I think whoever had a pretty uniform on, and if the race is closed, they're going to pick the guy with the prettiest uniform. Because they stay there, whoa! And then when they get ready to hit the stopwatch, they go up to the sky with it and bring it all the way down and lost another 2 seconds or 3 seconds on it, you know. It was a mess back in those days, you know. It's just, we got cheated out a lot of our time, okay?
Oh, wow.
I love Dom. Dom is just like my brother from another mother.
That's great. That's great. I don't know. It's April here, and I want to talk about your experiences. How about the Penn Relays? It's coming up soon in a couple of weeks. I remember very vividly when one of my former athletes ran there, and he ran for you, and they ran, I think they ran 302 on that 4x4 at the Penn Relays.
Who's that, Tony?
Yeah.
Tony put something down. Tony ran 44 that split. You fit 44.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They ran 301, I think, 301 or 302.
Oh, okay.
I know they were rolling. They should be on the Penn Relays Hall of Fame. I don't know why they don't put them on there. I've got a lot of bad memories of the Penn Relays. In 96, we won the Penn Relays. And they went to everybody go, leave the stadium. And then they said that we were disqualified.
Oh, wow.
Now, Dr. Walker had left at that time. And they got flags that you can put up when you get disqualified. Dr. Walker had some 12-pole flags, so everybody in the streets could see them. There were no flags or nothing put up. But at the end of the day, I find out that they didn't want us to be down as the championship because my good friend, too, Mel Rosen, was coaching Auburn at the time, and he was the Olympic coach. And they said, we little old school like this shouldn't beat the Olympic coach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That happened at the Penn Relays. And the guy who was responsible for that, I had some my alumni people there. Both of them were lawyers, and the next year he got fired. I think it was they handled the situation some kind of way. Mm-hmm. But okay. We still didn't get our watches, and I know we did not foul. And the bad part about it, the foul, they had a brother to make that statement. You know that we ran out the lane, and so I said, let me see it on television. I never saw it. And then I told him we had copies of it because I film all my races.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ran out the lane. But, you know, I kept moving. I didn't let that get me down. I had to keep moving, you know. And the one we lost to those Baldy brothers from Florida State, those two kids from, were they Belgium? I think my ankle leg he ran a bad leg. He knew it when he got there. He should have sat on him a little longer because I know he had more speed than that kid, but he went too soon. You know how you go in the Penn Relays, the crowd started hollering, boy, the drill started going. You go a little too soon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but they all ran a beautiful leg, and I love those kids. I will always love them for the rest of my life, and I'm always here for them. If anything they need, they know they can call Coach Williams. All any kid on my track program, they can call Coach Williams. They know that.
Hey, Coach Richardson, you and I were probably at that meet in '96.
Yeah, we definitely were.
Yeah, because we went every year because we live, you know, close by to Philadelphia.
I had Fish Roy Morris. I never forget it. Kenny Brokenbrough, Antonio Pettigrew, and Larry from Texas. I can't think of Larry's last name right now. I'll get it.
Coach. You know, the pin relays is a big event, and you know a lot of people like to come and share their stories. But out of all of your achievements, what is your one single achievement that you find to be your greatest achievement, and why?
The 400 meter hurdles. I think we won more 400 meter hurdles at the pin relays than anybody.
I'll have to look that up.
Look it up. Look that up. Check our men out. I think we won a lot of 400 meter hurdles at the pin relays. We had the record for a long time. We might still have it. I don't know. I know we won. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 6 or 7 pin relays, 400 meter hurdles.
Coach, let me ask, why were you guys so good in the intermediates? What was that, one of your key areas, or key events that you stressed or really worked on?
Yes, I love the 400 meter hurdles, and you take special guys that I. And I had a bunch of 400-meter runners. Like I say, I had guys running 44s, and then I had guys running 45s and 46s, and then I made hurdles out of them. And some of them was come to me that was hurdles already, and I shaped up their techniques and mechanics, you know. And I just love it, man. It takes a real man to run the 400-meter hurdles. And I remember when I had Rashawn Jackson, Batman, and they come here, and Batman is, what, 5'7"? And they all kind of tell Batman, everybody say you got to run 13 strides and all that. I said, shit, how you going to run 7? So we went to 15. And we already had the speed. And so I taught him how to do with the rhythm and how to shorten his strides and how to attack the hurdler. And that's history. One summer we went to Europe, he ran 46. He ran 9 47s in a row.
Wow.
He won the Diamond League that year. Set a record in Stockholm. Boy, that one race, he won about $12,000. He won the $10,000 diamond ring.
What are your thoughts on our American 400 hurdlers, man or female?
I think they're good. I think, one of the guys that I have a lot of respect for is Bobby Christian. Bobby Christian got good girls running fast, and then I had Boogie got his girls. I think we got good 400-meter runs, but something that happened with how the foreigners have figured our stuff out, and and what we got to understand, what we have to do with our 400-meter hurdles now. And the women's side is good. We don't have no problems with it. Well, they got the girl from Netherlands. She's really good. Skipper, you know. But we got our New Jersey girl. You know? But we got two girls. One of them from what, New Jersey and one from New York? Muhammad and
Sydney McLaughlin.
I couldn't think of last name now. You know, right?
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin. Yeah. And Muhammad, they're from that area up there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes, northeast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but. I think coaches now, outside of Bobby, who's, I have a lot of respect, one of the great coaches also, and there are some other ones in Boogie, and but a lot of young kids now don't want to put the work in for the hurdles. They don't want to hurt for the hurdles. But if we could find a kid who's running 10-4 and 10-5 now, or 10-3, that ain't going to get them anywhere in the sprints. So they should turn the hurdles, whether they short or long, okay? But we don't, our kids don't want to do that. And if they do that, we'll have a slew of hurdles that'll be strong again like we once used to be. But those people over in Oslo, Norway, they done figured out something. I don't know what they done figured out, but their boys are running.
Oh, yeah. They sure have. I know our producer, Princess, has a question, and she's going to come in and ask her question in a second here, Coach Williams. But when she does come in and ask the question, I want you to think about this question after she has her question. I want you to forget about all your accolades, all your Hall of Fame inductions. I think there were 9 different Hall of Fame inductions, all the NCAA championships. I want you to tell the listeners, who is the man, George Williams? But before you answer that question, our producer, Prince, is going to come and ask you a question first.
Coach Williams, again, thank you for being on. I want to just ask, when did you know that you had an eye for determining track and field talent? When did you know that you had the eye? You can look at him and say, okay, he's a hurdler. He's a 400 meter. When did you determine that? Or when did you kind of know that you had that talent?
I had to learn the system and learn about it. And I started in 76, and I think it was around about 19 in the 80s when I really started figuring out the talent and the mechanics and all that. Because like some kids used to tell you, but Coach Williams got an eye so good he could see your blank in the block there. You know, and so it's something that I figured out, and I can look at a kid running, and I can almost see by what he can do and what they can't do, and how fast they're gonna run, and whether they were soaking wet or whether they was dry all over. You know, and so that's something I can start gave me after all those years. You know,
that's good.
All right, one last question is it harder to coach women or coach men?
It's easy to coach either one of them with talent.
That's a perfect answer. That's a perfect answer.
It's so gender involved in any of it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Thank you, Princess. So,
hey, Coach
Williams.
Richardson.
Sorry, Coach, go ahead.
And Coach Williams, Coach Richardson and I'm not putting words in Coach Richardson's mouth, he and I both love quarter milers and intermediate hurdles. And I think both of us found in the success of our programs, at least I know for my teams, is building around intermediate hurdlers and 400-meter runners. Because if they can run 400 in the intermediates, you can move them up, you can move them down. They're running in various relays, sprint medleys, DMs, 4x4s, of course. And I've always liked building my team around those two events in particular.
You're right, Coach, and you're the strongest kids on your team, too.
I agree.
And the most kids on your team, too. Because I love those kids. They're like mine's running. They 4x1, the 400 relays, the 4x2. Mm-hmm. They can do it all. And the 800 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the 800 meters. When I had Tony, and he never ran a 400, and I told him, he asked me why. I said, you're not fast enough right now. You're going to run an 800 until you become faster. And he said, well, how fast I got to be? I said, it's got to be a 50 point something before you can run a 400. And I think running those 800s helped him in the long run. But Yeah, he's an amazing kid. He's a May baby just like me, so that's why we got along so well.
You know, everybody just asks me, where that kid come from? Where you get him?
Uh-huh.
You know? And I'm quite sure a whole lot of people looked over him because you sent him to me, Coach. There was a lot of people looked over because that was an athlete, man. That kid could put him down, you know?
Well, like I told you at the beginning of the show, he didn't want to go anywhere else but St. Aug. So he had a lot of other offers, but he said, I want to go to St. Aug. So that was his
yes.
His heart and mind was set to go there. And so that was
oh,
that.
Man.
So he passed.
That's a blessing. I tell you, you get these blessings in here, boy. That was a big blessing there. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Okay, Coach Lee, again, you know, one of my kids, Lamont Smith, and Lamont and I have still have a great relationship. But I can tell you one time he was mad at me. His last meet in high school at a home meet, I made him run the 800. And he hated it. He hated it. He might have ran about 210 that day. You know, I didn't really care because
right.
we were getting ready for a sectional
right.
and state meet. And that 800, and that meet really didn't determine anything because he was the
right.
defending group state champ. But we still tease each other today about it. He was mad at me that day because I made him run the 800. But he also went on that, you know, to win the media champions 2 years in a row and make the junior Olympic team. And, of course, you know, you coached him in 96. But –
But
that's
no, Coach.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, that's a prime example of what you guys do and what you have done for these young folks. And it's amazing about people. They see the glory, but they don't never know the story. And that kid, ended up, that same 800, 210 guy, ended up being an Olympic gold medal, you know? So,
yeah.
So. I have a lot of admiration for the both of you all and the love for you guys. And if you're still doing things with young people, keep it going because they need us more now than they did before, okay?
All right. So, Rick, I'm going to let you – I'm going to give you time for this question and take your time. But
okay.
Like I said, forget about the accolades. Forget about the Hall of Fame inductions. All the NCAA championships. Who is George Williams, the man?
George Williams is a young man from Miami, Florida, that came to Raleigh, North Carolina in 1961. And I played basketball at St. Augustine's University and ran track. And I was even one of the first guys to integrate the school system. I have a degree in elementary education, a bachelor's, and a master's in early childhood education, and a master's in college administration. And I'm a guy who loves people. I never met a stranger. I like people. I like being around people. Not a whole lot of them, but very few. And I love kids. I mean, boy, do I love kids. I remember my struggle, and so I tried to keep them from having the same struggle I have. And I have a lovely wife who's Olivia, and I have a daughter, Dr. Krista Harrell, and I have two granddaughters. One is at Penn State on the gymnastic team, and one is at Howard. On the all academic team.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's awesome.
And both of them, my pride and joy. And I have communication with almost 80 to 90% of all the kids who have run for St. Augustine's University. And we're still a big family. And my daughter used to say that, they said, you're the only child? She said, no, I have about 500 or 600 brothers and sisters. So she that ran for St. Augustine was our brothers and sisters. And in the early age, some of the kids on the track team would babysit her, take care of her, and me and the other ones, you know, started being friends with her and everything. I think, and so George Williams is a happy guy. I was a little disenchanted when my institution made a decision that I thought was bad for the institution. And it wasn't bad for myself because I was getting ready to retire anyway. But when God closed one door, he opened another one. So my doors have really been open, and I've done a lot of great things and helped a lot of people, and a lot of people have helped me along the way. It took a little time for me to get over that situation, and God is so good. The George Williams guy, you know, he's talking to now, actually died over in Doha in a ATV machine accident. And he remembered seeing his body laying down there, and that's all he remembered. But my family said that, they said I was gone. But a lot of things transpired here. I'm talking to you guys now. But George Williams believed in love. I love people. I love this country. I love my institution, which is struggling right now. But George Williams is the man of love. I love. Love is the way. And that's well George said. Williams.
I got a little bit of a follow-up question to that, and this goes back mm-hmm. to George Williams, the man. In my research, I came across two names that people refer to you. And the first one is, hopefully I'm saying it correctly, why do they call you Pup, P-U-P?
Okay. When I came from high school, I was an All-American basketball player, a good track runner. They said, this guy is a dog, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I was only 17 years old, when I got to college. And the guy said, this little stuff here is a dog. I think I weigh about 135, 140 pounds. And they said, you too young to be a dog. We're going to call you Pup. So I accepted the Pup. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the other
that's
name.
How that all, that's how it started.
All right.
That's
and the other name that I saw was, no matter where you go, you've been around the world, many different countries. You have been referred to as Sir George.
Right.
Where did that come from? How did that come about?
Well, it was I was doing a speech over in London, and I said that we appreciate the United States being over here with the father country. And the Queen said, no, Sir George, you mean the mother country. I said, I was just seeing who was listening. Mm-hmm. Over 10 down the street, you know. And so everybody started calling me Sir George, you know. And when I go to different places, they, you know, now, you know, in England, it's Sir George. In South America, it's Senor Jorge. And in Africa, it's Maduma, Daz Maduma. Mm-hmm. So everybody got a little name for it, you know. So you accept it and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Coach, it's been a great, great show getting to know you and hear your life story and just learning more about you. And one of the things, the beauty of this, we like this, Coach Rucker and I, we learn so much about people and about track and field. And I learned something here tonight, too. And that's one of the reasons why we like to do it, because we want to have people like you on here to educate us and to educate our listeners about track and field. And we think it's a beautiful sport and the best sport in the world. And we're going to keep promoting it as long as we can. And it was a pleasure having you on the show here tonight. And again, we'll have you back. We're going to have you back.
I admire you guys because people of our status and our color would never. People don't even know that we exist, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about Dom Tate, I wish they knew what this guy could really do, you know. And see these young people that I had back in the day, and see them now doing good with families, educated, and lawyers and doctors, and like the boys say, Indian chiefs or whoever they want to be, they're doing well. Because we graduated 97% of our student athletes.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And that's the big plus. They would tell you, you know, I used to tell parents when I recruited a kid, and that's why a lot of the kids would come to me, because I talked to the parents. I said, now, I don't know whether I can make them run fast or not. I can might make them a little quicker because the genes have to be there. But one thing I can promise you, I can be right on their butt to help them graduate, because mm-hmm. our mantra was, and excuse us, your A's might be fast, but your blank is going to class, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
I like that.
And before, y'all, man, y'all keep the spotlight on our people, because our own people don't know what we do, because mm-hmm. we never get the media like they get the media. I'm on the North Carolina Sport Hall of Fame. And mm-hmm. when I sit there on that Hall of Fame and I listen to the people they be calling names, and I think about all the good, outstanding black athletes in HBCU schools around here, they know nothing about, because they got no print. And if it mm-hmm. was, it was so small they couldn't read it, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, Coach so Williams, I'm going to bring Princess back in, but before I bring her back in, all our listeners, I want you to make sure you stay tuned for April 21st. We got a very exciting show coming up with John Carlos, Bob Beeman, Norm Tate. Princess, you're going to close us out.
Yeah, I'm excited about that show, too. Thank you, Coach George Williams, for being with us. We appreciate you taking time on this Sunday. We got to get you back, but we're going to continue to spotlight on We Know Track and Field. On us and some of the pioneers of this sport. Thank you, sir.
We've done a lot of things, and as you come to see, when we over in Paris, you'll find out that 60% of the medals we come from people look like us, okay? And
yes,
it's
sir.
the largest sport in the Olympics, okay?
All
so,
right.
Thank
and
you.
I appreciate
Thank you very
y'all
much.
Doing. And if y'all
All
need
right.
anything from please call me. Bye now.
Awesome. That's Coach
Thank
George
you,
Williams from St. Aug. Thank you, Coach Rucker. Thank you, Coach Richardson. I got to get to another show, The Crossroads, where life and sports intersect. This has never had it so good. We'll see you next time.